Check, check.
Okay.
Microphone checker.
Shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of his name.
Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin, change,
see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be in our service tonight. Brother CJ, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer? Church, if you'll join the choir and stand and sing tonight, let's turn to page 139. Page 139 and sing At Calvary. All right, everyone sing now.
Years I spent in vanity.
Tonight, and please remember the long list of prayer requests that we had this morning. Many going through a very difficult time, and we just want to lift them all up in prayer, especially Brother Ricky Harper is going through a very difficult time in the hospital in ICU, and so please remember him in prayer. And again, the list just goes on and on. We all have a long list of folks that we'd like to have prayed for. But I'm glad to know that the Lord knows all about each one. Amen. And please remember next Sunday morning, there will be no Sunday school, but we'll start service at 10:30 with homecoming here at Calvary, and we're excited about it. I know that you are. Please invite some folks and bring them to the house of the Lord that day, and we will do our very best to try and wear the mask if you feel the need to. It'll be perfectly fine, and we'll try our best to do all we can as far as social distancing goes. But we want to be safe, we want to be wise, but we are thankful to have an opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Snyder will be with us next Sunday morning bringing our message. We'll have a lot of special music, and we're excited about that. The choir's been working pretty hard today, and appreciate them, their faithfulness. We have many that are away for the holiday weekend, and so let's remember them in prayer that the Lord would keep them all safe. But please pray for Pastor tonight. What a great message and a great service this morning for communion. And we're very thankful for that. Thankful for the blood that was shed at Calvary as a remission of our sins. Let's go to him in a word of prayer.
I want to say something real quick about next Sunday for homecoming. If ladies, if you'll prepare enough, we say this every year, we just want to make sure we say it again. Prepare enough for your family plus guests. So that way we make sure we have plenty of food for everyone. So enough for your family plus some. And that means the children, so I'm sorry, that's a lot.
You don't have very much to say about that yourself.
You
got your own children's home.
But it will be a very, very exciting time. We look forward to it. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be in the service. Bless the offering and pray for Pastor. Brother Don, would you lead us tonight in a word?
Thank you.
choir, would you stand with me? Would you give me a key of F? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. Thank you that are watching by way of Facebook. And Sunday night is still part of Sunday. And so appreciate the Lord. And it's just been a joy today, an honor to serve Him in this capacity. And so tonight we want to continue that. Want to finish strong all the way up to a brand new week as we get into Monday. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. And a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, we started out looking at the gates of Jerusalem. And we want to continue that tonight. And again, we're not trying to over-spiritualize anything in the Bible, but I do believe there's something here when it comes to these gates that involve themselves in the walls of Jerusalem. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read two verses out of chapter number 2 as we continue the message. And those two verses are 17 and 18. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We need you. Got to have you, Lord, involved in everything we do. Lord, even to rise and walk, God, we need your hand of guidance and protection. Lord, we love you tonight. We're so very thankful of this opportunity to stand. I pray, Lord, that you bless the reading, the preaching, the teaching. Holy Spirit, communicate your word to the hearts of your people, which only you can do, and we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. And amen. Nehemiah chapter number 2, notice if you would in verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and notice these words, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I, speaking of Nehemiah, told them, the workers, of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, notice again, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I emphasize the double mentioning of the words let us, because anytime we go to do a work, it's teamwork. I don't know if there was a time where their hands were weakened and there was no involvement in work. But nonetheless, they strengthened their hands for this good work. And we know that there was a wall involved, but this wall had gates. And the Bible says in verse 17 that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof were burned with fire. And so... we know they began to build or rebuild this wall, but also the gates thereof within the wall. And a few Sunday nights ago, we began to look at these 10 gates. These 10 gates are the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, valley gate, dung gate, fountain gate, water gate, horse gate, east gate, inspection gate, or Mithcad gate. These are the 10 gates there in the wall of Jerusalem. And we began by talking about the sheep gate. We also mentioned that with each gate there is a spiritual parallel. And we mentioned the sheep gate. And the sheep gate was mentioned in chapter 3 in verse number 1. Notice, then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mehah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And so we see the actual beginning of this work, and the priests were involved. And this is, I believe, an important statement to mention that, you know, those in leadership ought to be examples of leading a work. Elisha and his men, they were involved. And so they led the work. They mentored the work. They sanctified the work before the work began. They started with prayer and seeking God's help and his hand of guidance along the way. But it was the sheep gate. And we know that the sheep gate was there because it was the in and out, it was the entrance and exit by which the sheep were brought in to be sacrificed in the temple. And we could glean from that Jesus was the ultimate lamb that was sacrificed. And also a person who is newly saved, they have a new life in Christ, and now they're a sheep. They're a sheep of His pasture. And so this gate reveals that it has a parallel of a new life in Christ. It has a parallel of Jesus being the ultimate lamb that was sacrificed. I want to say that Jesus is the gate of salvation. Matthew 7:13. But also we mentioned in the beginning of this message, this lesson, that this chapter, it starts off with the sheep gate, but then it ends with the sheep gate in verse number 32. Can I say tonight that Jesus, He is the starter and He is the finisher of our faith. He's the first and He's the last. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. So we talked about the sheep gate. I need to hurry on here. Then we mentioned the fish gate. And also I want us to understand as we go through these gates that there's a spiritual progression that takes place. Sheep gate, now fish gate in verse number 3. We won't read the verses. I'll just give it to you. Verse 3, the fish gate's mentioned. And we know that the fish gate was a certain gate that was for the fishermen of Galilee. And they would bring in their catch of the day to be sold in the market. What we can glean from that is after we become a sheep and trust Jesus as our Savior, we are now fishers of men. We go from the Lord takes us and transforms us, and we begin to tell others about Jesus. At least that's the call on all of our life. And so we enter this gate, the fish gate. Then we talked about the old gate. And that was in verse number 6 of chapter 3, the old gate. And some believe this was the oldest of all Jerusalem's gates in the wall, the old gate. And what we can glean from this old gate, seeing that it was the oldest gate in the wall of Jerusalem, that can be symbolic and draw attention to the old, ancient scriptures. Now, the progression here is this, that a person gets saved and trusts Jesus as their Savior, they're a sheep. And then they are to be fishers of men, but then there's a time where we are to sit at Jesus' feet, of course, our whole Christian life, but there in the beginning, there's an allotted time, or at least there's a time period where we know nothing about the Bible, and yet we sit at His feet and we hear His Word, we study His Word, the old ancient scriptures, and we grow in His Word. We learn from His Word. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16, I'll just give it to you. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The rest of that verse says. Old gate can be symbolic to the old ancient scriptures. And it's a time where we feast at Jesus' feet and we learn His Word. We gain a general understanding of the Word of God. We become familiar with the promises of God and the principles of God. Now, on a map, from this gate to the valley gate is a long distance. If you look on a map, the old gate, and then south, if you're looking straight ahead at it, there would be the next gate, the valley gate. And this is a long distance between the two. And again, this can speak to us at the time involvement of studying God's Word and taking in His promises, becoming familiar with His principles, and just learning from Him. The old gate, right unto the valley gate, which leads me to the last gate we talked about. Because it is the valley gate. In chapter 3, verse number 13 mentions the valley gate that was repaired by Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it. And again, this valley gate, it was right beneath, or after a long, long stretch from the old gate, was the valley gate. And the reason why it was called the valley gate is because several valleys surrounded Jerusalem. Several valleys surrounded Jerusalem, but this gate opened out to the valley of Hinnom. Now, the New Testament word for Hinnom is Gehenna. Gehenna. And we know that this gate led to the valley of Hinnom, the valley of Gehenna. Also, if you go back and look in the Old Testament, you'll find out that in the valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, there was a place where all the trash was taken and burned. Also, there was the false god or idol Molech or Molech, and he was one who people would sacrifice their kids to and with fire and be burned. And as you read and study and find that out, you'll find that there were drums that were beaten real loud as these kids were thrown in the fire being sacrificed to Molech. And the beating of these drums were done so they would drown out the screaming of these children being burned alive in the valley of Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom. And so we have the valley gate. And what we can glean from the valley gate is simply this, that after salvation, after we become a sheep, we're fishers of men. And then the Lord, He speaks to us, and we study His Word, and we grow, and we refresh ourselves, or at least we memorize His promises and get familiar with His principles. And this could take a while. But then after a while comes the valley gate, also known as the valley experience. Sooner or later, after a person becomes saved by the grace of God, the honeymoon phase, as some call it, is over. And what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about getting over our love of the Lord. But what I mean is, you realize over a period of time, from the time you got saved until whenever, you realize you're still living on planet Earth. You realize that you still can sin and you still can give in to temptation. And you realize that the devil is really an enemy. I remember when I first got saved, I was 20 years old. I had plans when I was 21 what I was going to do. I assure you of that. I was going to hit every club in Buckhead when I turned 21 years old. That's what I was going to do. God got a hold of me, Brother Allen, when I was 20. And instead of going to Buckhead, I went to the church house, which is far, 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 far better. And man, it was just like my life just instantly changed. Instantly. I seen the change in my brother. We both lived at my grandparents' house, and my brother went from drinking and drugging and clubbing to going to church and being in bed on time. Okay, only Jesus could do that. And so I began to watch his life, and I desired what he had. And the same thing happened to me. I told the church on a few Wednesday nights ago that he had this old, we both shared as our first car, this old wrecked Chevrolet Celebrity. It was like a 1986 or something like that. It was wrecked on all four sides. Had a crack in the door. It rained. We had towels on the seats. You know, it was just that kind of deal. My brother put on the back of that car, "Real Men Love Jesus." And so he moved on and went on to great, bigger, better things in life. And so I wasn't saved yet, and so it was my turn to ride in that car. So I took off that sticker, "Real Men Love Jesus." I'm like, man, I ain't riding around with that on the car. I took it off. But then I got saved. And you want to know what I did? I went to the Christian bookstore, and I got a sticker that said, "Real Men Love Jesus." And I put it right back on that car window. True story. I did that. And so, And so the excitement of getting saved and meeting Jesus and getting baptized. And listen, I'd walk into the Quick Trip and I'd see a Jehovah's Witness and I'd say, turn or burn. I'd tell them that. Also known as the JW. But you see, after a while, if we're not careful, and really, when your feet hit the floor, you begin to realize you're still on planet Earth. And you still can sin, and you still go through the valleys of life. And so the Lord takes a new convert, and through the membership of the local church, we disciple those new converts. And they begin to learn and grow in the Lord, and they familiarize themselves with the promises of God and the principles of God. But after a while comes the valley gate. After a while, the things that they've learned, the things that I learned being a new Christian, there came a time where trial came, and I'm saved now. It's not like it was when I was lost when troubles came. I just ran from them, dealt with them physically, but you can't do that being a believer. And so trials came and things happened in my life and my wife's life, and we began to gravitate toward the promises of God, the things that I learned early on in my Christian walk, times in our family and times in our life where it began to be difficult and we needed God to come through. I realized I was still on planet Earth and I needed God's help. And so that's when God's word really helps us power through. It's during the old gate when we familiarize ourselves with the ancient scriptures, and then the valley gate when we begin to experience the realities of life. The honeymoon's over. It's hard work. Now we have to pick up our cross and follow Him. Anybody in the valley tonight? Anybody experiencing difficulty and you say, Brother Justin, it wasn't like it was when I first got saved. When I first got saved, everything was fine and dandy. Well, guess what? Everybody goes through the valley experiences. And so here we have the valley experience. And sooner or later, after conversion, we will be tried and tested. But it's a time of personal growth. This is opportunity to cast our faith upon the promises of God and trust Him. Remember tonight, nothing really grows on the mountaintops. Farmers don't plant their crops on the top of a mountain, but they do in the valley. It's in the valley when you grow. And so tonight, look at verse number 14, if you would. Verse number 14 is the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Bethsirim. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, the dung gate. Let me say this about the dung gate, or continue to say. All of Jerusalem's trash was taken out of this gate and disposed in the valley of Hinnom, or the valley of Gehenna. And there was a fire there, and this fire would consume all of the trash. Again, the false god Molech and his people. Babies would be burned, and the drums would be beating in order to drown out the screaming of the babies and the kids. All of these things took place in the valley of Hinnom, the valley of Gehenna. And we know that Gehenna is also a word that's used talking about Gehenna hell, where the fire is not quenched and the fire continues. Where the worm dieth not, there is a real place tonight called hell. And I hope and pray and trust that nobody here will go there, but that we're all saved. But what can we glean from the dung gate? Well, there's also a pretty long distance from the valley gate to the dung gate. And we know that it's the Lord in our lives that uses these valley experiences, that uses us as we grow we digest the promises of His Word, and we go through these valley experiences. It's all to get rid of stuff in our life. Trash, dung, all goes through this gate to the valley of Hinnom. And so is the Lord and the Holy Spirit as He works in our life. He takes us through mountaintops and valley lows. He sharpens our faith and gets rid of all the trash. That is the intent of the valley experience, is to get rid of the dung in our life. Do you have stuff tonight that needs to go? Is there some trash that needs to be taken out? We had communion this morning, but still applies to tonight. We all have stuff that needs to go. I do want to call your attention to something else when it comes to this dung gate. If you look on a map, you'll see that this dung gate, there's a sharp bend on the bottom of this wall. And so here's the old gate, and here is the valley gate, the dung gate, but then there's a bend, and it goes up. And the next gate is the fountain gate. But this is a blessing. This was a blessing to me studying this. That the Lord saves a person. He calls them to be fishers of men. We began to feast on His Word and familiarize ourselves with the promises of God. And then He sends us through the valley to learn and to take out the dung from our life. And then there's a bend right to the fountain gate, which means, church, sooner or later, if you're in the valley tonight, sooner or later, things will start to look up in your life. Things will start to get better in your life. If you are totally yielded to the Lord, you're trusting in His providence. You might not agree with everything that's going on in your life, but you're trusting that the Lord knows best, and you find yourself in the valley. It's only to further our faith, and then eventually things start to look up, and then real faith flows. I wrote that down. I like that. Real faith flows. This is the fountain gate. Notice, if you would, in verse 15. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalon, the son of Kolhoza, the ruler of part of Mizpah. Boy, these names are something. You just got to roll with it. You got to commit and roll with it. The fountain gate. This gate was near a pool. You know what pool I'm thinking about? The pool of Bethesda. That's just what I thought about. This gate was near a pool. Often people would clean themselves before entering the temple, and so this pool was used for this. The fountain gate, the pool, potentially the pool of Bethesda being one of them. So what can we glean from this? Well, the dung gate is very close to the fountain gate. Therefore, after a valley experience, we are tested and tried, and the rubbish is removed from our lives, then true faith flows. The fountain gate speaks of the Holy Spirit and the living waters that has cleansed us and now is empowering us. John 7, verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The fountain gate. Things are going up. Things are on the climb, things are getting better, and now there's the valley gate, or the fountain gate, where real faith is flowing. But look in verse number 26. There's the water gate, which is close in comparison to the fountain gate, but the water gate. Verse 26, "Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, in the tower that lieth out. Keep in mind, we have people that are rebuilding these gates. They're at their post. They're dedicated and committed. And this gate is the water gate. The water gate led down to the Gihon Spring, which was located adjacent to the Kidron Valley. The Gihon Spring, which was located adjacent to the Kidron Valley, you would find the entrance to the water gate. What can we glean from the water gate? The water gate is a picture and can be a picture of the Word of God and its effects in our life. It's only through God's Word we can be cleansed. I love Psalm 119 verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." God's word cleanses us. While the fountain gate and the water gate are close in comparison, the water gate can emphasize God's word and its influence and effects in our life. The water gate, the Holy Spirit makes God's word alive in our hearts, giving cleansing, encouragement, and direction. Let's move on. Notice, if you would, in verse number 28. There's the horse gate. Verse 28, "From above the horse gate repaired the priests every one over against the house." The horse gate. This gate was close to the king's stables on the inside. The men of Jerusalem would ride their horses out of this gate to war. And so we know in the Bible that horses are a picture and a symbol of war. Horses are. If you look on Stone Mountain's face, you'll find those horses, those men on those horses. Horses are a symbol and a picture of war. We know in the Bible, in Bible days, of course, horses were used for war. And you had some pulling chariots. Remember the chariots of iron? Remember that in the book of Judges? Chariots of iron? Horses, symbols of war. And this is one of my favorites. Revelation 19 in verse number 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." The horse gate, a picture of war. And let me say tonight that as we are looking at Nehemiah and as this horse gate can picture war or warfare, we know that Nehemiah was always contended with warfare and he was in battle. In chapter 4, verse number 1 and 3, there was Sanballat and Tobiah, which caused trouble. Remember that? They were getting ready to start this great work, and then the enemy got involved and tried to slow down this work or stop this work. In fact, they said, "Even if you do build a wall, a fox will walk up it and knock it down." How many times does the devil come along in your life and mine and say, "Oh, what you're going to do at the church, it's not going to come to fruition. Even if you did paint the church, even if you did make some improvements around there, even if you did reach a few souls, it won't stand the test of time. It'll all fall apart." There's warfare in the Christian life tonight. And so this gate tonight has to do with war, has to do with warfare. Let me mention something else. Verse number 29, there's the east gate. If you notice in the latter part of that verse, it gives the mention of the east gate. Now, the east gate is located on the opposite side of the Mount of Olives. What can we glean from this eastern gate in the wall? Well, we know that Jesus will return by and through this gate. In Ezekiel chapter number 44, I'll just give it to you, verse number 1 through 3, talks about how that this gate is closed right now. But then in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 4 says that one day that gate will be open. And this is referring to the return of the Lord. And His return is in two phases. He's coming for His church, but then He's coming with His church. So tonight, we as Christians should look and long for His return. We mentioned it this morning. Do this in remembrance of me till I come. He's coming. He's coming through this eastern gate. Why? Because the Bible says so. I don't understand all of that, but I believe it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul says there is a crown to be won for those who long for His appearing. Now, not trying to confuse anybody. I wouldn't never try that on purpose. But some people are looking more forward to their disappearing than His reappearing. And I'll say sometimes I'm guilty of one and not the other. Now, let me just say, oh yeah, I'm longing for His appearing. I want to see Jesus. But there's times where I just want to leave this world and drop this robe of flesh. So sometimes it's not so much about the Lord I want as it is sometimes the struggles I want to forfeit and just go on to heaven. Sometimes we can be guilty of longing for our disappearing more than His appearing. But the Bible says that we can earn a crown when we long for His appearing. Sometimes the two are connected. Disappearing, appearing. So the east gate. But then in verse number 31, this is the last one. And this is the inspection gate or Mithkat gate. Verse 31, after him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants over against the gate, Mithkad, into the going up of the corner. The resources I had that I studied said also, along with, of course, the Hebrew word for Mithkad, gives reference, and it's a military term, gives reference to an inspection. And so I got kind of confused. What was this gate used for inspection? Well, some believe that this was where David inspected his men, inspected his troops. He made sure that they were suited for battle. He made sure that everything was going the way it should go. That they were troops, his troops, but they were inspected troops. And so coming in, they would be inspected, and leaving, they would be inspected. The inspection gate or the Mithkat gate. What can we glean from this? Well, this is just one thing out of many that we can glean, that this gate can speak of us and one day our examination of the Lord based upon our service to Him. If David inspected his men coming in, coming out, then surely there's a connection to one day there will be an inspection of us when we get to heaven. Not talking about salvation. Salvation is done. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, these are just some things that I've gleaned that I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, this speaks of that inspection date or a day where we'll stand before the Lord. And we will be judged not according to our sins. That was taken care of. But we'll be judged according to our works. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. In verse number 10. Notice what the scriptures say. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And it goes on down through there, and furthers the conversation, furthers the talk about our works. There's coming an inspection day. We're going to stand before our Lord, and our motives for why and when we served Him will be tried by fire. And if it's anything other than to glorify God, the Bible says we will suffer the loss of reward. It will be burned up, wood, hay, stubble. If it was for the right motives and it was for His glory and for His good, then it will stand the test. Gold, silver, precious stones. And so there's coming a day for an inspection. Again, not dealing with our sins, that's been taken care of. But when it comes to our works down here, you know, and that's one more reason to give everything we have to the work of God. That's one more reason to rise up and build and strengthen our hands for the good work here at Calvary. The gates of Jerusalem was the message tonight. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You. Lord, thank You for Calvary Baptist, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what we have that's here, what we're trying to do, Lord. Father, I pray that we would just take it one day at a time. Do all that we can while we can, so when we can't, Lord, there'll be no disappointment and no regret. We love You tonight. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and we'll give a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come.
Just as I am without
you. Anybody tonight? That's good. Let me just say this evening, I want to share this. I hope it's okay, Brother Lee, Sister Teresa, that prayer request y'all shared on Wednesday night about your friends down in Florida. I believe it was a gentleman who had, a son and two daughters, something like that. Well, one of them, unfortunately, had passed, COVID-related, I think. And then they requested prayer for another daughter where it wasn't looking good. And what was the message you sent? She has recovered from that or doing better? Praise the Lord. That needs to be said, because there are so many sick with COVID and getting on the ventilator. I did not want to miss that praise. That there are folks getting off the ventilator as well when God enters the equation. And I know that He has a different plan for everybody, but I sure do like to sound off those who've got off that ventilator. And so we praise the Lord for that. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Let's do that tonight, brother. Let's have special prayer for Brother Rick. I have not had the honor of meeting him, but I'll tell you what, he must be a loved man because I hear a lot about him here lately. Miss Ruby, I know Miss Claudia has done really good by keeping me informed with both of them, Ruby and Ricky. So let's have special prayer for them, but also under that same umbrella, just prayer for everyone who's battling COVID right now. There's just so many cases. And prayer for our church at the same time. If anybody wants to come down to the altar, we can do that. You can pray where you're at, but I'm certainly going to kneel for a minute and have special prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, Lord. And Father, it's been made clear in recent weeks of our dear brother, Ricky Harper. No doubt he is a loved individual, Lord. But more than the love expressed here at church, Lord, you love him. You love him far more than any human love can afford. So tonight, Lord, we call on you, O God, on the behalf of Brother Ricky. God, that you would touch him. Lord, we know he's on the ventilator and dialysis, and God, accept an intervention from above, Lord. Accept from an intervention from above. We pray for a heavenly intervention. We pray for a miracle. Touch Brother Ricky, Lord. Raise him from his sick bed, God. Give him another story to tell. Father, I know that he'll give you praise. We pray that you'll just touch him from his toes to the crown of his head. Make him better, Lord, than he was before, is my prayer tonight. And we thank you for Miss Ruby as well. We hear she's doing better. Praise God for that. God, continually have your hand on her. And Lord, for all the others that have been mentioned, Lord, and Brother Lee, Sister Teresa, and the friend that had just lost their 30-something-year-old daughter due to COVID. And the 13-year-old boy that was mentioned this morning that we seen on the news in Ackworth, Lord, that lost his life due to COVID. Father, even in our family, an extended family member, Lord, just passed away due to COVID. We haven't been around them in a while, but Lord, it seems like more and more families are being touched by this dreadful, awful, dangerous virus. God, we're calling on you tonight, Lord, that you would just take care of all of the people that's been touched, Lord, in a negative way by this sickness. God, we want to be in church and worshiping you, and no one wants to be sick. We want things to operate like they should. But God, we need you tonight, Lord. We need you to touch and to heal. Thank you for protecting the membership of our church, Lord. Those that come regularly, I pray that you'll continually have this umbrella protection over us. But other churches as well. Father, just, we trust you, Lord, in your providence. We don't always agree with what's taking place, but Lord, you're God and we're not. And I'm not saying you're the reason all this is taking place. I wouldn't dare say that. But you know what's going on tonight, Lord. You know what's going on. And so we trust you with this dear family, the Harpers. We trust you, Lord, with each and every family here at Calvary. We trust you at our jobs, at schools, we trust you. Our children's home, Lord, we trust you. Lord, help us not move our focus on this virus and off of you and get discouraged and depressed, but Help us, Lord, just trust you tonight. Keep us all safe. Help us edify one another while we still have time. We love you this evening, and we thank you and we praise you for who you are and for what you have done, what you're doing now, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.